saying? Money, money, money. Turn it up. You see the money ain't a thing.
It's time for Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO and KIDOAM.com. Listen, learn, and interact with Brian Wiley and Steve Rausch and other local expert guests. Brian Wiley is a financial advisor with Tree City Advisors. Tree City Advisors is an Idaho-registered investment advisory firm. Brian does not hold himself out as providing any specific financial, legal, or other advice on this program. Information presented may not be suitable for you. Consult a registered investment advisor. Consult a registered investment advisor when evaluating any particular investment security or investment strategy. Call the show now at 580-KIDO. That's 580-5436. Idaho's Money Show starts now.
Well, good evening. 6 minutes after the hour, it's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. We're live with you Monday through at least Thursday.
At least Thursday.
Well, sometimes I'm known to have the CapEd business hours on Friday. It's fair enough, right?
Yeah.
I'm Brian Wiley. Steve Rausch is here. Steve Rausch!
I am here.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. It's hot out there.
It's extremely hot out there. It's a little sweaty.
Yeah, and I'm in a long sleeve shirt.
I ran home and was able to put on a t-shirt and shorts before the show. And then we come back here, and then Steve Marsh shows up. We have Steve Marsh, Medical Plans of Idaho.
I thought didn't he just get married?
How's that going, Steve?
It's been going great.
Yes?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, we like it.
Yeah. It's only been a week. Maybe two.
Actually, as of last Friday, I was told it has been two.
Yeah, yes.
It was two last Friday.
Yeah, well, that's
Saturday.
Cool. Congratulations
Thank
to you guys.
Yep.
And best wishes to each one of you. Congratulations to you. Best wishes to her.
she needs it.
Yeah. And I think that is the proper way to say it, right?
Right, I think so.
Congratulations to you.
Yeah.
To the male. Best wishes to the female.
Right.
All right. Right. Fair enough. We'll move on.
I think you have to balance that out.
I gained here. Yeah.
That's you gained?
She stepped down.
Yep.
Yeah, we would
yeah.
agree.
Yeah, we would agree with that one. Yeah, it's like she lost a bet of some sort.
Yeah,
anyhow,
she might have.
I think it's going to work out just fine.
It's like Donald Trump. You know that his candidacy is all about it was a big bet, right? He's just betting with one of his buddies that said, "Hey, you know what?
I bet you
$1 million I can win the presidency. Come on."
Yeah.
Yep.
And truthfully, it probably is some small amount like that to him. You know, it'd be like you and me betting $10 on something.
And Hillary, on the other hand, looked at her friend and told her friend, "I am a great, honest politician."
Right. Right.
And there we have our two candidates, and there
right.
we go. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. The Team Subaru of Nampa studio hotline is 580-5436. Phone lines are open. Anything financial, anything insurance-wise, anything legal is fair game on the program this evening. Between the three of us, we can answer any question you've got. Again, the phone number 580-5436. Call the program when you'd like. Now, markets did bounce back a little bit today. In fact, the old term came back. This term was pretty well banned about 15 years ago. Dead cap bounce. You ever heard of that? Dead cap bounce?
No.
A dead cap bounce comes after a major sell-off, and then you'll see a market all of a sudden bounce higher. So that's it. And it's kind of like if you took a cat that is... expired and you threw it on the ground to see if it'll live again. It bounces. It looks like it's going to live for at least a quarter of a second until it hits the ground again and proves out that it was just in fact dead. Dead cap bounce actually used to be a term that was used a long time ago, but it was kind of deemed not very politically correct.
I can't imagine why.
We got rid of that. I'm happy to use it here though. So was it a dead cap bounce? Actually it may have been. I think that today could have been a bit of a dead cap bounce. It could have been short coverings that happened today. And it gives me an opportunity to talk about, how investors may make money off of a falling market. I've had a couple conversations in the last couple days with both clients and prospects about inverse strategies. Inverse strategies would be when the market is going to do something, let's say it's going to go down, there is a way to buy something that will automatically go up, actually as inverse. So there are securities out there. One is called the Volatility Index, the VIX, and that's the index, actually. There's a security that trades on the VIX that will go up when the market goes down. At least that's the way the design was, and that's an inverse strategy. Well, another inverse strategy is to sell a stock borrowing the securities, you sell the security, and then later you go back and you purchase it at a lower price and you get to keep the profit. So if you sold it a week ago at $10 and then today you go back and you buy it back at $7.50 and then you give the securities back to the person or the company that you borrowed them from, you've now done a full round trip on it and you get to keep the difference between the two, right? That's called a short sale. A short sale means you sold the shares. You didn't even own them. You borrowed them, sold them, and now it's your job to replace them. And today may have been a day when short coverings came back into the market and replaced the shares. Usually, that is a somewhat of a bullish sign, but it can also be a sign that they've also just made enough. And so profit takers in many cases will say, you know what, that was good enough. I'll take 5% after a 5% market fall. A lot of these people probably made some pretty good money on their shorts. And so they go back and they cover those. And hence the name Dead Cat Bounce, because really it wasn't because good news came into the market. It was because some investors had made enough money on their short sales to go through and just cover them. And so short coverings looks largely like what happened today. And the market, the technicians are talking about short coverings really driving a lot of the market activity today. But on the other hand, a lot of investors still seeing an opportunity to just buy in at lower prices. I went through this conversation with some clients today and yesterday, which is at what time do you actually go through and invest money that maybe you've had on the sidelines? And the reality is this is the reason why we keep cash reserves in every account. So if you ever wonder why you have idle cash sitting inside your account, especially if you have a financial advisor that's supposed to be investing your money for you, and you're wondering, well, gosh, you know, I have a $100,000 account. I've got $3,000 sitting in cash. Why so much? Why isn't that working for me? Well, when the market moves lower, many advisors will, in fact, put that $3,000 or maybe some of that money to work for you, trying to buy into a lowering market. That's why we keep a cash reserve on the side.
What happens on what happens with a if you've invested in the VIX, the index?
Yep.
Because you can invest directly in the index, right?
Well, yeah, you can buy futures contracts on the VIX, but really you buy an exchange traded fund that trades the VIX.
VIX. Okay.
Yeah. So that tracks it.
But so let's say that you do that. You buy into VIX. Do you have to hold it a year and a day so you don't have capital gain? I mean, how's that work?
Great question, actually. So any security that you buy and sell inside of a year is going to be a short-term gain or
so it's an ordinary income.
Yeah, it'd be normal, ordinary income. If you hold it for over a year, then it would be long-term capital gains. And so exchange-traded funds, remember, are equities. They can be bought and held just like a stock position or like a bond position. So holding them long-term is okay in many cases.
But with a VIX, so if you invest, I'm just trying to get my head around this.
Okay.
Let's say last week you're looking at it and you go, man, I just don't trust those Brits. You know, I think they're going to exit the UK. And you said, I think that's going to cause markets to go crazy. I'm going to invest in the VIX.
Yeah.
And then the market stabilizes 3 weeks from now. So you sell that VIX and you just take the income off of it, but you're
going to sell the whole thing, and yeah, you're going to pay
the taxes. Is
that
a good strategy? It's a better strategy in that kind of a thing to kind of time it and say, okay, we see the market stabilizing now. I should get out?
For traders, yes.
Okay.
Okay, this is a strategy for traders, okay? If you have the time to trade the markets, then sure, this is a great strategy.
Okay. Yeah, because otherwise you wouldn't know when to do this, would you?
No, and most market timers actually don't make any money. Mm-hmm. I trade the VIX.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And I actually do it even a little bit on steroids because I actually trade the call contracts on the VIX. So I don't even buy the VIX. I don't buy the volatility index or the exchange traded fund that is actually tracking that, but I buy call contracts on it. And I'll hold them for just a couple days and then unload them. And sometimes the gains or the losses can be quite surprising. So they're quite magnified. So if you put $1,000 into something like this, you can actually come out with zero in just a couple of days.
Right.
Or you might even see that go up to, you know, double or even more because it's really amplified.
Gotcha.
Vegas money. That's really what it is.
It's gambling. Yeah. Gambling at its best.
It is. In fact, I joked with a cop client of mine last night about it, and I was telling him about this, and I said, here I am in Idaho, fully legally gambling with my own money. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Because that type of a position is a gamble, you know, and it's a guess on my part. As much as I look at the markets, I really don't know what they're going to be doing. I did mention to you a couple weeks ago, right before I was leaving to Mexico,
I said
this market is really toppy, and I think that this is the point that if you wanted to make a short-term trade, this would be the time to do it. Well, I had no idea that the British exit of the EU was actually going to occur, had no idea that that surprise was going to occur, none of that. So that was just actually kind of like a little cherry on top. To the market falling itself over that short period of time. So that is trading. If you've got questions regarding trading or if you're interested in actually becoming a do-it-yourself investor, I would love to have you join my event that is going to happen on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. at my office, by the way. I reserved the conference room at the top of the Banner Banker building, which is where my office is, downtown Boise. 9 a.m. It's a free class. If you're interested in learning how to trade on your own, I'll teach you how to do it. Now, I'm going to teach you how to do it inside of TreeSap, which is my allocation program. So it's a guided do-it-yourself program. Right. So for those of you that don't really know what to buy and what to sell or how to invest your money, that's what TreeSap does. It tells you exactly what to buy and when to sell it, what to replace it when, and with. So I do all that design for you. It's inside the program. I'll show you how to use it. So it's a TreeSap class. It's free, 9 a.m. Saturday morning. If you would like to go, there's a couple different ways that you can register. I've since had a great conversation with my wife since I announced this last night, unexpected to her. She put up a...
he's like, yeah, and call and do this and do that. And then right. She texts back.
She texts back three things. The web page isn't up. The phones don't work. And you're doing this on a 4th of July weekend. But go ahead if that's what you want. Well, I'm going to do it anyhow. So it is up. So you go to idahosmoneyshow.com. You can click on the events tab. You can register for this. It's free. Please register ahead of time. We're going to meet out front of the building because the building is closed down on Saturdays. And so we're going to accumulate everybody out in front of the front doors, and then we're going to all go up the elevator together, use the conference room. We've got coffee up there, water, tea, if you'd like just light refreshments like that. It's available to you. It's free. It'll be a small event, probably no more than 12 people sitting in a room. You'll probably even make a couple introductions as far as making some new contacts. But other than that, it's just going to be me showing how this works and kind of talking about the theory. And I'll answer lots of questions. So if it's a market trading type of a question, I'm happy to help you with that as well. Again, I'm not a huge proponent of day trading. I'm really not, especially right. with people that aren't doing it on a daily basis, which mm-hmm. probably is most of you.
Well, and there's all these aspects, just like I was talking about, you know, understanding what's a capital gain versus your short-term gains, mm-hmm. holding it how long to be able to get the capital gains. There's so much, and that's just little details. There's so much other detail that goes into actually doing it that's where people need
okay,
a financial
so,
advisor.
Right. And let me just say this about taxes. Steve, let's say you invest $10,000 and it doesn't matter what type of period of time happens, whether it's a day or if it's 4 years. Well, 4 years would suck. But if you made $1,000 on that $10,000,
right.
Are you happy? Let's just say it was within 2 years.
Sure, 10%. I made money.
Okay, you made money. If you have to pay taxes on that $1,000, let's say that you lose $200 and you made $800. That's a long-term capital gain. That'd be your 20%, right? Are you still happy?
Yep.
Yeah, you made money.
Mm-hmm.
If you did it inside of a year and it cost you 35%, so $350 of that $1,000, would you still be making the investment?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't let taxes drive your decisions, okay? If it's profitable, it's profitable. Having to pay taxes means that you actually
made
money.
Some money.
That's great news.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, you may not be happy the fact that you have to pay taxes, but be happy for the fact that you made money and stop focusing on that part of it.
Right.
Short-term, long-term capital gains should be tracked. Most of your custodians are actually going to track that for you. It's going to be part of the 1099 that is sent to you at the end of the year and to the IRS, by the way. So you'll report that and pay the taxes then. And so set aside some money to be able to pay those taxes and you'll be just fine. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580KIDO. Again, last thing for registration for Saturday. You can also send me an email if you'd like to do it, brian@idahosmoneyshow.com, or you can call the program here. Ronaldo will write down your name and your phone number. We'll call you tomorrow. And here's the number. So many of you that are driving, you're thinking there's no way you're going to remember idahosmoneyshow.com, all that stuff. Just call this phone number, 580-5436. We just need your name and your number. We'll call you back tomorrow, send you confirmation, and get you all set up for it. And that'll be it.
So do they need to bring anything?
Uh-uh. Don't
just
bring
show
anything.
Up.
Yeah, just show up.
Just show up.
Certainly can bring a pen and a piece of paper if you want to take notes, but I don't even think that's necessary. I think inside of an hour, I will show you everything you need to do to be able to start making your own investments by yourself. The cost savings are immense for people that are currently in mutual funds. I say, I want to get do-it-yourself. I want to get all investors actually out of mutual funds. If I had it my way, nobody would be buying mutual funds anymore, regular mutual funds. Mm-hmm. You'd be buying stocks, bonds, or exchange-traded funds, and that would be it. Nothing else, no fancy stuff, none of it's needed. Mutual funds cost too much money, especially the ones with the fancy money managers in it trying to make decisions about what to buy and sell and when. I don't think you need it, and I think you're paying way too much money. In many cases, the TreeSap program is costing people about one-tenth or 90% less than they're currently paying, and their performance will probably be very similar, perhaps better, maybe slightly worse, who knows, but it'll be very close to what you're already getting in the mutual funds, and you'll save yourself that drag of the extra expense.
So with TreeSap, is there like beginner, intermediate, and expertise, I guess?
No, it's just it's risk-based. So once you determine which risk category you're in,
you fall in.
Then you just follow all the recommendations. And it's not very often. It's not like a trading program. It's something that once a quarter, you're going to get an update. There'll probably be some rebalance changes every quarter. But that's, for the most part, it, unless we have a an allocation change mid-quarter.
Right.
So you're talking four times a year, you're probably going to have two, maybe three trades to do. And every single one of them will be supported with a video. So the video shows you how to do the trades again. So as a refresher, a lot of people will forget in 3 months how to do the trades. You just watch the video, pause it, go do the exact same thing, and then you're done. Most people, the majority of the money that they're spending with their financial guy is actually for the transaction piece. Do your own transactions and save yourself the money.
Right.
Let's take a break. The Team Super of Nampa studio hotline is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO.
When we come back, what I want to talk about is I had a case that happened last week, and it involves what do you do when you have adult children? Maybe they have a health issue, no planning in place, no documents in place. What can you do as a parent to assist them?
All right, we'll do that. Perfect. Plus, we'll talk about vision plans this evening on the program. Steve Marsh is here from Medical Plans of Idaho. We've got Steve Roush. I'm Brian Wiley. It's Idaho's Money Show.
And back weekday mornings 9 to 12 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580 KIDO, Idaho's Talk Station.
Just yucking it up over here, aren't we? I don't know what we are. I'm Brian Wiley, Steve Marsh, Steve Roush in the studio. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. The Team Super of Nampa studio hotline is open at 580-5436. Visit us online at idahosmoneyshow.com. Pick up archives of the program and communicate with us. Please do it. Love to have you also like our page on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, the more likes, the more it gets out there, the more people that recognize our program, the better for all of us. It has been something that I've been talking about in my office, which is how do we get our show out to a broader bunch? And we're working on that, trying to figure out some plans here. Anyhow.
Cool.
So let's talk about adult children that parents are, adult children with special needs or health concerns.
Just health concerns. It doesn't even have to be necessarily special needs. I mean, that we certainly have that happens where you have an adult who has a special needs issue. Maybe they didn't get to a point of being able to do their own documents when this mental health issue happened, and now they're in a situation where they need somebody to make some decisions for them because they can't. And so the Idaho statute actually provides for the ability for somebody to come in and do that. And there's we talked about a little bit about this on the show last week, was that...
Was it the parents stood fifth in line? Is that what it was?
Yeah, parents actually are down there a ways, because when you look at it, it's going to be obviously a person listed on a healthcare power of attorney first, or a guardian, somebody that's been appointed your court ordered guardian. But then it's, you know, spouse, your children, you know, as an adult, if you have children that are adults that can make that decision, and then your actual own parents fall about fifth down the line. Hmm. But then you keep going down the line, and it actually comes down to, well, any interested person.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, you know.
Nope, not interested, thanks.
Yeah.
Dang it!
Yeah. And so, but what we're seeing is this, we see a large amount of this going on. And it's not necessarily just with mental health issues. It's with people who just haven't taken the opportunity to go get their own health care directives in place. And there are really two documents if you count that Idaho combines. If you use the Idaho statutory form, it combines your living will, which is your advanced medical directive, with the health care power of attorney all in one document. That document is actually, my personal opinion, is a little confusing. And so the documents I use actually separate those into two separate documents. But then you should also have a HIPAA authorization that goes with that to allow whoever you've elected to be able to talk to the doctors. And that makes up your directives from the standpoint of healthcare. to be able to take care of you if you have an incident. And, you know, we are all out there driving on the freeway most every day. All it would take would be a bad accident, and you could be in that scenario. And you may not have documents in place. And so who's going to be making those healthcare decisions for you? You need to have those in place. And if you don't, then it falls to the statute to decide who's going to have the authority to make those healthcare decisions for you. And so it's just so important for you to get those done. And I've had a scenario where I've had parents, and this has happened to me multiple times, where I've had older parents, elderly parents, need to make decisions for their children who are now adults, you know, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, somewhere in that range, from a healthcare standpoint, because there was nobody else to step in and do that. And so that is all part of it's part of the estate planning documents that I prepare for clients. We go through and we do those healthcare documents. We also do financial power of attorneys and other documents. But it's so important, and something that I think most people just kind of pass off as, nothing's going to happen, I'm going to be fine. And in reality, that may be the most important document that you put in place.
So what happens in this case, though, because there is nobody named, do the parents already have this control given to them, granted to them by the state?
By the statute, yeah.
Okay, well, by the statute, or just did the – who would appoint – so who actually grants this and says this person's allowed to make decisions over this person?
So the statute, if there are no documents.
Okay, there's no documents.
Okay, then the statute says in order of authority, these people can make those decisions.
Yeah, but let's say that you're the attending physician. Who are you? How do you know that you're now down to the fifth level?
You don't, unless somebody steps up.
So does the provider actually have a position in this as well?
Well, the provider, all they can do is they're going to follow their Hippocratic Oath, right, mm-hmm. that says do no harm, we're going to keep you alive as long as possible. We're going to do everything necessary to provide the health care to you that we need to. Where it really becomes interesting is where maybe that person, the injury was so catastrophic that they're being kept alive on life support and really should be let go.
Shouldn't somebody be getting a judge to make a decision to say, you're the person, okay, you're the parent, we're down to the fifth in line, so now you're going to have power of attorney, and the judge ends up writing that?
Right. We don't need that in Idaho.
You don't?
No.
So the physician's just going to take their word for it?
Well, they're going to – the physician obviously needs to verify that, yeah, that you're the parent, right? They have some
way to verify.
Wow,
that's just a lot of work that they have to do. Well, not only that, but that's to say that, okay, well, none of the children exist or even want to come out of the woodwork and do this.
Right.
So the physician's got to go out and verify this?
Well,
and not be a physician?
Well, it's going to be the hospital administrators or whoever it may be. But what happens is if nobody steps up, then they become the county really steps in. The state of Idaho would step in and have a responsibility for that person.
How often does something like that actually occur?
Where the state steps in? You know, I haven't seen any statistics as to how often, but I've actually.
Well, I would imagine if you have a homeless person here that doesn't have any family in the area, that could occur.
Well,
right?
and what we just saw in the newspaper not too long ago, there was a whole thing about how the county, it was a criminal investigation that was going on, but how the county has, they have a. The responsibility when somebody dies and they can identify no known heirs or no known family or no known personal representative or anything like that, the county steps in and has the responsibility to...
For like cremation of the body.
Taking care of the body, making sure that they inventory the estate and figure out what else, you know, what's there. So the county takes really jurisdiction over it until they can identify who would be in that position of responsibility. Right. And so that's how people in that scenario end up as well.
And I think currently, until just recently, doesn't the county has been, I guess, at the morgue or wherever they maintain those, the ashes, they've been maintaining them. But I think I read in the paper here recently
that was yesterday, I think, that I saw that.
Cloverdale.
Yeah, they now have a crypt, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break. Should we go to the phone? Let's go to the phone call first. Let's do that. The Team Super of Nampa Studio Hotline's 585-436. Let's go to Kristen calling out of Boise. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Thanks for the call.
Great. I have one question. My husband and I, he does not have any living family at all. If in the event that something were to happen to both of us, I do have my kids, so they essentially are his stepchildren. Would they be able to make decisions regarding life support and whatnot on his behalf, even though they're not his biological children.
If he has a power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney in place naming them, then yes, absolutely they could. But if the, if you had no documents in place and then they were somewhere put in the position of needing to make that decision, they're not his biological children, so they would not have a right. There's no provision in the statute. Now, they may fall under the provision that's, you know, an interested party, which is down there a lot down the line a ways, but, you know, may be able to get that. But that becomes a little more tenuous. You know, I could see a healthcare facility being a little bit concerned about that. So,
right.
But if he's named them, that's why naming in those documents is so important, because you can name anyone. It doesn't have to be a relative. You can name anybody to be your healthcare power of attorney. And we run into that actually quite often, even on the side when somebody passes away and there is no known family. And what do we do?
Right.
You know, we don't have a will, or we do have a will, but we can't find anybody that we know was related to them, you know. And so sometimes we have to actually do a search for heirs where you publish it out there. Hmm. And you try and locate who may be some relation to him. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Certainly appreciate it, Kristen. The Team Super of Napa studio hotline is 580-5436. That's 580-KIDO. Steve Roush in the studio. Steve Marsh as well with Medical Plans of Idaho. I'm Brian Wiley. This is Idaho's Money Show.
Kevin Miller, weekday mornings 5 to 9 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580-KIDO.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580 KIDO, Idaho's Talk Station.
It's 40 minutes after the hour. Again, if you'd like to join me on Saturday morning, love to have you join us. Just call the studio. It's an easy way to do it. 9 a.m., it's the tree sap class. I'll be teaching it. Very casual. I'm going to show up in jeans, maybe even shorts. Ooh. Yeah.
Not Speedo?
No, I won't do that.
Oh, please no.
I want people to keep their breakfast down.
Yeah.
Come join us for 1 hour. I'm going to teach you how to use tree sap. So if you're interested in managing your own investments, it doesn't have to be a decision day for you. It's at least exposure to the program itself. See how it works. Ask questions about it. Hear other people's questions and so on. I think it's a very good time to be able to see this, and it's free. If you want to set up your account, I'll even help you do it. I'll just do it right then at the end of that. I'll show you how to set up your TD Ameritrade account and all that stuff. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. Steve Marsh joining us here on the program. By the way, if you'd like to register for that, you can go to idahosmoneyshow.com, click on the events tab, or just call the studio here and give Ronaldo your name and your phone number. We'll call you tomorrow with a registration or some registration information, and we'll see you on Saturday morning at 9. Steve Marsh joining us here from Medical Plans of Idaho. We got to talk vision plans.
Yep. I scheduled an appointment for myself today.
Did you?
To get your eyes checked?
Yeah. To get my eyes checked, yeah.
Do you have something going on?
I just noticed reading has been more. It's called
age 40.
It's called pissing me off, is what it's doing.
Yeah, because, you notice that your arms aren't long enough anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I had LASIK surgery about 12 years ago, and one day I woke up about a year and a half ago, and all of a sudden it's like I'm just a little bit fuzzy, and you know,
just up close or all together?
Just all together.
Oh.
And then, throughout the day, it came back, and I was like, oh, man, I must have just had something in my eyes, or you know how you're just kind of tired or something. And today, I got readers everywhere.
Yeah.
In fact,
you see a three-pack of readers under $10, and they're
in your basket,
right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Marie and I, we've got them all over the place. They're in the car. I got three pair in my office.
What power are you up to?
I'm using 1.25.
Okay,
the lowest.
Yeah, you're on the beginner level.
Yeah.
So am I still. I think I might be at 1.5.
Yeah. I was just looking at it going, well, when was the last time I even had my eyes checked, you know?
Right.
And I got to thinking about it, and it's been probably 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was like, well, okay, maybe I just need to go in and have it looked at and say, okay, yeah, just to confirm that, yeah, you're old and you're going blind, so don't worry about it, and we can do something about
that. Yeah, and there's a lot of testing that those doctors can actually do. It's very minor testing that they do right there in the office that they actually detect a lot of different medical conditions that we then go to our doctor and go, hey, I didn't know I had.
Right. Right. You absolutely. Know? I mean, and, all kinds like diabetes and all kinds of things will show up in your vision.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it can be expensive to go see your eye doctor, especially if you actually do it regularly like you're supposed to.
Right. Right.
So some people will carry vision insurance. VSP is probably the most popular one, isn't it?
VSP by far is the most popular.
That's the vision service
vision
plan.
Service plan.
And that's the
correct
one I'm on. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you've got. How much do you pay for it, Steve Roush?
So mine is pretty comprehensive because I have all my kids on it and all my kids need glasses. So I pay $87 a month, but it covers them. They get $200 plus worth of frames, glasses.
They get one exam a year?
They get one exam a year, but both contact and glass exam.
Right. Yeah, you're on the Cadillac plan.
I'm on the Cadillac plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk about those, Steve.
Yeah.
VSP has multiple plans, evidently.
They do, yeah. Just recently, in the last year or so, they've come out with an individual product that you can actually purchase. I have a website if you want to go to it. It's Vision Plans of Idaho. And in there, you can see each of the three plans. You can decide, you know, which one is going to work for you. The lowest cost plan is right at, I think it's like $18.07 a month for an individual.
Pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, and about $44 for a family. And then it goes up to like the one that you're on, which gives you, it's more comprehensive and you get more benefit.
Right.
You get
and
both contacts and
like
lenses.
It's like a $25 copay when you go in there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get the exam and they do both the glasses and the contact exam. And then you get, I don't remember what it is, but you get so much towards glasses and so much towards contacts once a year.
Right.
And so I felt it was worth it because when you look at four kids plus myself, that's five people, $87 a month, that's pretty good for five of us to be able to get
benefit. Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times people have VSP offered through their employer, and it's an even better deal.
Oh, yeah,
so
sure.
If it's available that way, you know, definitely buy it because it's about half the price on a group plan. I have a lot of people that just want vision insurance, and so it's a great way to get it. And it's generally it's pretty affordable, especially if you are a regular wearer of glasses. It's definitely worth it.
Well, it gets spendy. I mean, I can tell you with my kids, all of my kids except for my youngest they've been using glasses since they were 5-6 years old, and so they went through glasses and contacts, and man, glasses anymore, you go in and you. If you have to buy those, you're talking $400 or $500.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To get a set of glasses, a good set. So.
Is the VSP plan or any kind of vision insurance, is that deductible to the person who's buying the plan?
Yeah, it's just like any other medical benefit. So you could deduct if you're self-employed, you can deduct the actual premiums.
Okay.
The medical expenses for those are...
You can add that right to your HSA.
Right
or pay
to your HSA. Now, you can't pay your premiums through there.
Right. You can pay them through your MSA, I guess.
MSA, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yep. So there's some additional savings right there for you as well.
How much would it be for me to buy a plan, VSP, basic?
For your whole family, right at about $44.
$44 a month?
Yeah.
And it's going to cover an exam for each one of the family members plus eyeglasses if they're needed?
Yeah, you're going to get an allowance towards the frames and lenses, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, it's a $25 copay for the eye exam.
It might incorrect about this. I thought the ACA actually required that a vision plan be bundled with the health plan, or is that dental?
No,
for
so
children.
Well, so vision and dental are essential benefits. So in Idaho, the dental is actually a separate benefit that you would actually purchase on your own. Regents is the only one that I know of they're the only one that has done this where they actually include. The pediatric dental in the plan, but you know, it's built into the premiums. But when it comes to the vision, all the plans have, for the most part, they'll have that vision piece built in, but it's deductible. You got to meet your deductible for major medical first, and then it kicks in.
Okay. So a lot of people add the VSP plan on top of that?
Yeah, generally.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, and today,
when
I called today, the place that I'm going to go, they asked me, they said, well, we need your VSP and we need your health insurance. We need to know both.
They want them both.
Yeah.
Who'd you book your appointment with? I'm just curious.
It's called the Eye Associates. It's right out by my office.
Okay.
They're off of Meridian.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And I'd been there. I had a client that I'd went there with to take her last year.
Yeah.
My kids usually go out to one out in Eagle. That's where they've gone for.
And
all
I've used Dr. Johnson over at Premier. He's awesome.
Okay.
In fact, they did my LASIK.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
and my kids have gone to Meridian Vision for several years, and those guys are fantastic to work with over there as well.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sure we got a lot of great eye care professionals here in the Valley. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great field to work in, actually, I think, as far as I know.
But the reason why people buy the Vision versus it being packaged into their plan, even though it's packaged into their plan, they still have to meet their deductible first, and the average person never meets their deductible.
Right.
So if you got a $2,000 deductible.
But with VSP, there is not one?
There's no deductible, no.
How does that company make money then? I mean, because the exams, how much is an exam? Did you find out,
I don't know.
Steve?
I don't know how much the exams are.
I think you could probably figure an eye exam is going to be somewhere between $65 and $70.
Okay.
You know, and so you're going to pay a $25 copay.
Yeah.
All right. So the doctor, more than likely, they're going to make their money. There's probably some rebates in the background that VSP is providing back through various, you know, lens manufacturers or through the... you know, the frames
or contacts,
right?
You
know, so there's got to be things like that in the background, like there is in the medical.
Yeah,
and so
and usually the VSP, even though they give you like on ours, it's a $200 towards frames or whatever it may be.
I think it's $230 on your
or $230, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your frames and lenses and everything are going to exceed that $230 by probably another $230. So they're making money.
Yeah. And the thing to keep in mind is that, you know, you're going to have, you know, if you're on the basic plan, you're going to have, you know, a series of frames to choose from. So I like to tell everybody, you know, we used to call it the tower collection with different plans, but, you know, there may be a whole wall of frames and lenses over there. But you're going to focus on this section right here. These are the ones that fall within your allowance. And then if you want to upgrade beyond that, you know, you want those special Oakley frames, well, those are over here. You're going to pay a little bit more for those.
Yeah. So the thick black-rimmed glasses are your wall.
Right, right.
Pretty much.
Yeah, when I was in the Navy, they called those birth control glasses.
Yeah, well, that's 49 minutes after the hour, it's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. We'll come back with Steve Marsh from Medical Plans of Idaho. Steve Roush is here as well. If you'd like to call the program, we'd love to have you join us. The Team Super of Nampa Studio Hotline's 580-5436. Phone line's open. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580 KIDO, Idaho's talk station.
Thank you. Team Super of Nampa studio hotline still open at 585-436.
I should have kept going when I didn't see you, your mouth moving.
I was just reading an article. These are some of my favorites because I want to be able to look back to these here in a couple years. I want to be
on
able to...
On the Brexit?
No, this one is actually in oil. And I was just a couple months ago, or actually, no, a couple weeks ago, I was searching for old articles from back in February to see what the article headlines were saying when oil was falling down to 26 mm-hmm. bucks. Because I do remember that there were articles being published saying the next stop for oil is below 20 bucks and so on and so forth. And that oil will never come back. And some people were given their theories on why oil would never come back. Well, this is an article that's sitting in front of me. I think I'll just copy the URL on it, or maybe I'll print it. Actually, I'll print it and shove it in a folder. Maybe I'll be able to bring it out here in a couple years. It says, back in February 2015, the price of West Texas Intermediate stood at about $52 per barrel, half of its 2014 peak. This guy, his name is Gary Schilling, said, I argued then that a renewed decline was coming that could drive it below 20 bucks, a scenario regarded by oil bulls as unthinkable. But prices did fall further, dropping all the way down to low $26 in February. Since then, crude rallied to spend several weeks flirting with $50 per barrel. He says, but it won't last. I'm sticking to my call for prices to decline anew to $10 to $20 per barrel.
$10 to $20 mm-hmm. a barrel?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's citing, you know, based on OPEC, he's citing it based on Saudis and Persian Gulf allies trying to play a desperate game of chicken with other major oil producers such as Canada, the United States, the oil sands projects, all that stuff. But he's also citing, you know, what's going on with ISIS and Iran and instability and all these things, these countries that are desperate for oil just for financing their populations and so on. These articles are always interesting to come back to a couple years later once you know how things play back. Mm-hmm. This guy, how I was talking about it last week, how media is in the business of making money off of advertisers.
Absolutely.
And advertisers only come to media if the media group or the channel can say, we get listeners and here's how many listeners we get. Well, the only way to get listeners in this day and age is to be extreme. It's like my son watching motorcycle racing. Right. Really, he doesn't want to watch it unless these guys are jumping 80 feet in the air and doing triple backflips.
Yeah, because otherwise it's not any cool.
Because
it's cool
we become accustomed to the old motorcycle racing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing with news. We don't really pay attention to news anymore unless it is all hyperbole. I mean, it's literally got to be completely hyped up in something that to get your attention. That's the only way media can gather listeners, viewers, or whatever it's looking for. Well, this is a great example of it, in my opinion, anyway. Only reason why I read this article is because the headline. And the only way, of course, this media is going to attract me is to have really big headlines. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what scares investors, by the way. If you're going to read this type of stuff, if you're going to listen to radio or TV or the messages thereof, you've got to understand how that channel makes money. That's if you don't get it, then you are subjecting yourself to the emotional investment world. I had a meeting today with a gentleman that is absolutely afraid of this world. He's afraid of it. Believes that, you know, all the conspiracies are happening. You know, people are watching. You know what? I'm not a psychologist. I'm going to guess that there's some schizophrenia that's in it. But well, fueling it with really crazy media is not helping the situation.
Well, and we do have a situation going on politically across the world that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And so because of that, it is stoking all these fears out there.
It is. And
then shows like What Follows This.
Right.
I'm sorry, but if you listen to Alex Jones, I don't want you as a client. I really don't. Yeah. I say that even not even tongue-in-cheek and kind of tongue-in-cheek because I can't fix psychological problems. Right. I can't even counsel you out of them. If you listen to it for the entertainment value, then fine. It's like watching World Wrestling Federation and calling that entertainment versus wrestling. Thank you.
Yeah. It's completely true.
Yeah. Well, at least what is
but
what
we're
he
all,
says?
You are.
Oh.
But we're all sold on the hype of all of this in the first place, you know, and we're attracted to it by the media, like you said.
Be careful what you listen to, what you hear, what you read. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. Steve Marsh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Steve Roush, thank you. Have a great night.